if you could summarize who did the study, who was involved, and what were some of the goals that you had in doing this?
Okay. The study, it's called the Store Alert Project, and what it is, it's a way to educate youth or students on the power of advertisement of tobacco products. And then you take the students out and you survey retailers. And based on their advertisement amount and placement and all of that, the stores are given a grade based on how in your face, I would say, the advertisements are. Does that make sense?
Sure. How many students and what schools?
We actually used Robertson County students because it was during the summer, and we didn't really have access to students here in Brazos County during the summer. So we used some students from Jones Chapel in Robertson County, and they were, I don't know, most of them were junior high to high school age kids. And I can't remember off the top of my head how many we had. I think we had about 15 students that went with us, and we broke up in groups of two or three or four students per carload, and we were in different groups. I would have to pull out to look at how many stores we actually did. Are you going to want that information?
Well, the news release here says 18 stores.
Okay.
I wanted to make sure. Were
okay.
Those in Bryan College Station, Brazos
yes,
County?
Yes, we just visited Brazos County stores.
And what would constitute an A grade, B grade, and the release notes 2/3 of the stores are D or F, and so what's the grading criteria?
Right, just the amount of advertisement, where it's placed. It grades whether there's advertisement on the windows, on the gas pumps, outside, at the street, whether there's light up signs, moving signs, special price signs for tobacco inside, whether it's at eye level, because most of the advertisements from the tobacco industry is geared toward youth, because obviously they need new customers. So, where they place it in the store is key as well. So I was really surprised at the results because I thought that the stores, in more south of town would grade better than some of the ones north of town, but it was not the case.
So it's a combination of placement and the size of the signs and the quantity of them then?
Right. And then if there's special pricing, like if they sometimes they run advertisements, like if you buy three packs, you get one free, things like that. If there's functional signs, like a trash can with a tobacco logo in them, all of that is added up and graded and then put on a scale. And then the store's then given a grade. So it's kind of like a little formula. You kind of, they get points for each of those things that they have or do not have. We tried to break it up as fair as we could. We did a few stores in several areas of the community. And so actually, I can just say the ones with the best grades were in Bryan.
And was there something, I know this is such, the time has lapsed so long, maybe nobody recalls, but was it a B just because of just how little advertising there was then? Did that make the difference more than anything?
Probably so, and then just placement, sign placement. So actually, something that's interesting is a lot of times these small stores or the convenience stores, they get either kickbacks from the industry or the tobacco company for putting up the advertisement, or they get discounts on their product if they have a certain amount of advertisement or they're willing to place, the advertisement where it is. And something else that we found out is the tobacco they have people that come in the store from the tobacco industry and actually place their signage, and they have, reps is what you would say for an area, and they drive around. And at BV Casa, we actually do retailer compliance checks where we go out under the grant that I'm funded for. We go out and we do retailer checks and make sure they have the comptroller required sign and make sure they're carding minors and things like that. So. And we've actually been told that sometimes the tobacco industry will take the comptroller signs down or advise them to take them down
And what is that?
The state requires all tobacco retailers to have a certain sign. It's an approved sign. It has to be at the point of sale in every place that sells tobacco, and it's just a certain sign that says, you know, if you sell to, I mean, if someone buys under 18, they'll lose their driver's license. It kind of goes over the law, and it has a picture of some of car keys, you know, up there. And just to drive home the fact that if a youth is caught with tobacco products, they can lose their license. So it's a yellow and white sign, and it has the comptroller's name on there. It says under 18, no tobacco, $500 fine. And it has it also has a blurb on there about smoking is harmful to a pregnant mom, things like that.
I'm guessing you probably weren't terribly surprised by the results.
Actually, I really was surprised because I expected in the more high risk neighborhoods, I expected there to be a lot more signage and a lot more advertising. And in the nicer areas where you would think the youth would not be as high risk, there would be less. But it was the total opposite. It was a total opposite. In the nicer areas where you think the youth would not be as at high risk, there was more advertising. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I'm curious what the motivation might be.
I don't know. I was really surprised. And another thing that we found out when we were out and about is there was a ton of advertising for alcohol. A whole lot. We were really surprised at how much of the space in the convenience stores is really taken up by alcohol advertisements as well.
Both of which are things that you guys are trying to reduce or stop.
Well, sure, especially for youth that are underage, you know, and there's just really good reasons for it, you know, with research and brain development and all of that stuff. The reason that the drinking age is 21 is because your brain's not through developing until you're close to 25. And when you put substances into a developing brain, there's just a lot more risk for a lifelong addiction. So that's kind of why we do what we do in prevention. We're trying to delay the onset of use. So if we can keep people off of these substances until they're old enough to use them, they have a lot better chance.
Now, officially, the survey dealt with tobacco, and maybe you're kicking yourself that you wish that you could have done alcohol at the same time.
Well, right. I mean, the program is made for tobacco awareness and advertising awareness for the tobacco industry, and it's something that we're state-funded, and they like for us to do the project every year. And so it was just a good opportunity for the coalition to get together and do it. And the coalition has members from the health department, City of Bryan, BV CASA, the Department of State Health Services, Regional Tobacco Control Office for Region 7. We have members, and then the ESC, Educational Service Center for Region 6.
You mentioned some of the things that you were surprised about. What about gauging the reaction of your students?
I think the students were surprised at the number of advertisements there were. I think they get really, I think they're just desensitized to it because they see it everywhere. Kids take in so much advertisements. I think that a lot of times they're desensitized to it. And so actually showing them how much there was in the store and, you know, how it's used, I think was a big eye-opener because I think a lot of times that they don't realize how misled they are, how taken advantage they are by the industries, you know, especially alcohol and tobacco.
I'm also guessing that your students are primarily, if not exclusively, non-alcohol, non-tobacco users.
The ones that we took out were. They were, we didn't really... the group that we got were primarily good kids, and not that they weren't, you know, not good kids, but we didn't really take a random sampling. We were hoping to work with the Neil Rec kids, but it just didn't work out that we were able to take those kids out.
And I guess what I'm thinking about is, how much does positive peer pressure play, and how much do efforts like, you know, your programs have in trying to discourage someone from starting and getting somebody who has started to quit?
Well, we know prevention works. I mean, I can't give you statistics off the top of my head, but we know it does work. And you know, we're not crazy enough to think that, you know, every kid that we come in contact with we're helping, but we know we help some. And, you know, like I said before, if we can just delay the onset of use, if we can keep a youth from starting alcohol and tobacco, well, mainly alcohol, because I think you can become addicted to tobacco at any age, really, but if we can start a youth from drinking at 13, maybe until they're 18 or 20, that's huge, you know, huge genetically and with brain development. And because most of the time, people that are lifelong addicts start using during adolescence. They, you know, people that treat addicts and tend to say that addiction is an adolescent disease because they usually start young. So, you know, our goal is to just try to delay the onset.
Well, you mentioned 13 for alcohol. Mm-hmm. What might be an average age around here for smoking?
Well, 12 to 14 is probably the average age to start smoking and be a lifelong smoker. What we see around here a lot is social smokers. You know, with the colleges, you know, we'll see a lot of groups of students that maybe didn't start smoking in high school, but when they get in college and they get, you know, they, you know, get in bars and start the drinking scene, then they tend to smoke socially. And that may or may not lead to a lifelong smoking habit. It just kind of depends on the individual.
And what about smokeless tobacco usage?
Smokeless tobacco usage is pretty high, especially in our rural counties. It's really high. We're above the state average in smokeless tobacco usage in our region. So, and it's not a safe alternative to smoking. That's the misconception.
Still.
It? Right.
I mean, that point's been pounded for it seems like a generation. And
right. And the tobacco industry is so smart and so slick, and they're coming out with these new smokeless products. There's the snus now, which is a little packet that you put in your mouth, and it's a lot of them are flavored, and you don't have to spit. The nicotine and stuff is absorbed right through your mucous membranes. And pretty soon they're coming out with another product. It's called Orbs, and they're kind of like a breath mint. But the nicotine is just you suck on it and get it that way. So they just make it easier and easier.
And then this, going back to the convenience store, this is really an exercise in traditional advertising.
Right.
Anything done yet regarding social media and some non-traditional forms of advertising or promotion?
You know, I don't know, to be perfectly honest with you. Most of the advertising that we see in, you know, convenience stores is just, you know, mostly just your posters and, you know, stuff like that. They do a lot of different advertising in magazines and things with tobacco, a whole lot. And they're known to advertise in magazines that are specifically geared toward youth. Same thing with alcohol. And their ads are very creative to really entice the young crowd. I saw one recently. It was kind of, it had the Xbox logo on it, and it was a tobacco ad, but it was specifically geared toward gamers or people that like to play video games. So they're pretty smooth like that.
Have I missed anything?
I don't know. It's just such a huge topic. It is a huge topic. The tobacco industry spends billions of dollars on advertising. And so most of it is geared toward youth. They need anywhere between 4,000 to 5,000 new smokers a day to replace the ones that die and quit